Welcome to Creative Maine, an hour-long monthly program produced for and broadcast by WERU 89.9 FM Blue Hill, Maine, and at weru.org. This show considers the making of craft, fine art, food, literature, music, dance, museums, and any other form of creative expression here in Maine. We also discuss topics of global cultural significance and interest. My name is Adina Salmonson, and I am your host for this monthly exploration of all things creative. Should you have comments, questions, input, or suggestions for the show, send them to info@weru.org. Please list Creative Maine in the subject line. The life of the arts is a test of the quality of a nation's civilization, said JFK. As a lifelong musician and crafter, I am thrilled to be presenting my areas of interest and passion to you on our wonderful community radio station right here in my Orland backyard. On today's show, we will chat with a number of wonderful guests: Natalie Lisnett and Jesse Speed of Ten Bucks Theater, Colleen Sweetser of the Bridgeton Band and the organizer of the 2024 RB Hall Day, and several RB Hall Day participants. Welcome, Natalie Lisnett and Jesse Speed, to Creative Maine. I'm so glad to have you here. You both represent Ten Bucks Theater, which is based in Bangor?
Yes, Bangor Brewer.
Bangor Brewer. And it's such an interesting name. I don't know whether I'm thinking of bucks as in the animal or bucks as in the amount of money, but you're going to tell me. So what is Ten Bucks Theater? How did it get started? And where does the name come from?
Ten Bucks Theater, or TBT, as you know the acronym goes. We started in 2000, so it's about as old as me. I'm 25 now. We're coming up on our 25th season, so that's very exciting.
So you were not a charter member, I take it.
I didn't become a member until 2015, but kind of always been a part of my life. Yeah, we got started. Just to kind of, because we felt that at the time that Bangor could use like another community theater, like kind of by the community and for the community. So we're not equity. We draw from a lot of different members within the area and outer areas as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we rely a lot on help from, you know, the arts, you know, groups in Bangor that, you know, people that support arts in Bangor, yeah, and the surrounding areas around the area. So, it all relies a lot on theater lovers and people who love different local events and chances to get together in a place that's a little more interactive than what they might enjoy at home, you know, watching movies or streaming.
So yeah, you can't stream us. So
yeah.
Very good. So where did Ten Buck come from?
So on our original logo, it was 10 bucks, like 10 deer sitting in a theater, like watching the stage. We did used to charge $10, 10 bucks for shows. But of course, due to how expensive everything can be, we now charge, you know, a whopping price of $15 for most tickets and then $10 for student tickets. So that it's Both buck is in the deer and buck is in the price.
Well, I guess your audience has grown to be 15 deer instead of just
10. Yeah.
Exactly.
When we feel $15 is still a pretty good deal for a live show, you know.
It really is,
like,
yeah.
Some of the prices you expect from live shows nowadays. So not quite in that 10 buck range anymore.
But right, right.
We try to make it as accessible as possible.
Yeah.
So the mission of you sort of hinted at that a moment ago when you said by the community for the community. Is that basically your mission statement?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's our mission statement. You know, we're a group of people who just love theater. We love acting. We love directing. We love bringing theater to the community. That's like, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for that love of theater. So mm-hmm. I think that's kind of that core part of the company.
Absolutely. And then being a nonprofit, you know, a lot of the times the membership aren't being paid, and it's just mm-hmm. you're doing it because you love to bring that to the community, and you love to share that with your fellow actors and directors and everyone involved. A lot of times you can tell it's just a labor of love. So
yeah, absolutely.
So how far and why do you perform?
So, I mean, we pretty much perform in Bangor. That's our home. We, during the summer, we'll do Summer Shakespeare for 2 weekends in Indian Trail Park in Brewer. And then the third weekend, we take it to Fort Knox in Prospect. So we do a bit of traveling here and there. We've performed at the Grand in Ellsworth, at the Woodlawn Museum in Ellsworth a little while back. Let's see. We've performed at the Orono Amphitheater Library. We've performed at UMaine as well. For one summer, actually pandemic summer, 2020, we performed at the Hirundo Wildlife Refuge, which was and definitely an interesting experience, but very fun.
Any bucks come to hear you?
Not that I remember, unfortunately. that would have been pretty cool.
Well, Natalie, tell us your story and how you came to have the starring role in Henry V this summer.
I grew up with acting. Like I said, this company is as old as I am, basically. My parents have always been deeply involved in theater. They met doing theater at UMaine back in the 80s. In the UMaine Pavilion. Yeah, my mom studied theater. She teaches theater right now at UMaine as well. Dad's always been involved from a very young age. It just kind of seemed like a very natural progression. If I didn't study music in college, I would have studied theater. And I've just been performing in shows since fifth grade. I played a newspaper boy in a rendition of Fawlty Towers and Monty Python, where we have a couple episodes of Fawlty Towers and then some Monty Python or Fry and Laurie sketches in between.
Yeah, were you in one of the early Shakespeare shows with Tembus?
My first Shakespeare was Romeo and Juliet back in 2010, which was the first Shakespeare we took to Fort Knox that summer.
Yeah.
Wow. And how about you, Jesse? What is your role in the company?
Currently, I'm the media manager, a member of the board. I take care of a lot of the social media aspects right now and working on the posters and the graphics that we need for social media and printing out posters. We like to do that for each show, and we put those up. Still, we find places all throughout Bangor and Brewer and Orono that we put posters up, and we manage the ticket sales and things like that. I wasn't in Shakespeare this year, taking a little break from that for the past couple of years, but I'm looking forward to probably next summer to audition for Shakespeare again, and that would be really exciting. I love Shakespeare too. That's how I got my started with 10 bucks. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, we did the Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had a role in that. And after that, I stayed involved with 10 bucks, and I've been here ever since.
Wow. Well, I was wondering, because you said your mom teaches theater, mm-hmm. and does she also direct the company?
Yes. So mom is one of the original co-founding members. She's the last co-founding member that's still like involved with the theater company. And she was our president a while back. She's now our treasurer currently. You know, she's a huge inspiration for me. I know she's a huge inspiration for a lot of theater people around here.
Does she have a method like when I was young, we used to read Stanislavski method and the sort of thing? Does she have a method that she teaches, or just her own?
She usually teaches like the fundamentals of acting. So it's like how to audition, like monologues, like that sort of thing, like getting started. $10 doesn't necessarily teach like a specific method per se, a lot because like we draw from a lot of different communities and different like levels of theater background. We have a lot of people who have done theater since they were kids, people who've studied theater, people who maybe haven't done theater in a very long time, or people who have never done theater at all. So
Yeah, I
a lot
think
of
we,
it's, yeah.
really encourage people to bring out their strengths and, find what's in them to bring it out into the character. And I think it works pretty well.
Well, you were saying that you draw from a lot of different main communities. So, how do you recruit actors and stagecraft personnel for your performances?
I mean, just, getting the word out. I do think as long as you make it like a great experience, then people are going to keep on coming back. They're going to tell their friends, they're going to tell their family, their dog, whoever. a lot of it is word of mouth and just making things a good experience. I do also think that being in Maine, is definitely like can be a more rural community, but it's also like very tight-knit. That's something I've always loved about living here. You just meet all different kinds of people, and it's just great to see who comes out to audition and who sticks with it and enjoys it.
So it is an
Yeah,
audition process. Yes.
there's audition process. A lot of it is like Natalie said, a tight-knit community. So if you need some help, you can, ask other people their opinion, people who are in, different theater groups maybe might have, some advice on something you can do, maybe some old props, some old costumes. So, yeah. So, but when we are looking for new people, mostly we just put posts out on our website and on Facebook and stuff and welcome anyone, any age, any background to audition
That's great. So you
and
can
get a chance.
basically
Yeah.
break in a new generation every time. So is the company funded by sponsors or grants or just ticket sales?
We do a bit of everything. A lot of it is ticket sales. That's, what's a theater without an audience? It's, same with Bangor Band, which you and I are both a part of. But we do definitely do a lot of grant writing, a lot of sponsorships, and, shameless plug here. We are currently looking for sponsors for our upcoming season, for upcoming shows. So we also love to work with local businesses and try to make some of that happen as well.
So if someone wanted to be a sponsor, what would they get for their sponsorship? Do you know? Maybe that's an unfair question.
That I'm not entirely sure of,
You
but.
do get mentioned in our marketing for shows throughout the whole season. So anytime we make a post on social media about an upcoming show, we'll say thank you to the following sponsor, and they just get it mentioned every time. And
They don't get a cameo appearance.
not yet, but I don't know. We haven't worked that in yet, but
That would be funny. So how can our WERU listeners become involved? I know there must be a lot of people in our listening audience who are wannabe thespians, or maybe they were in a high school production and are now retired or so forth. How can our listeners become involved?
The main thing for me is like, come out and audition. We have people come to us from, yes, in Bangor and in Brewer and in Orono, but also from a lot of other places. We have someone in our company who comes up from Lemoyne. We have people who audition come up from like Penobscot or Blue Hill or a lot of different areas. We really do try to make things inviting. If you're not in acting, we also do definitely appreciate the help backstage with stage crew, lighting, costumes, props, set design, sound, all of that fun stuff. You're absolutely welcome to come out and be a part of that. We do
Yeah, and
also
even if
have,
it's something you've always wanted to try and you were unsure about it, there's it's a real welcoming environment, and we make it feel like a safe space for a lot of people. And yeah, it can't hurt to, join our team.
So how can they find you? What's your contact information?
So our website is 10buckstheater.org, and that's theater with an R-E, not an E-R. So it sometimes confuses people, but if you look us up, you should be able to find us either way. I know we have Facebook, and I know we have Instagram at 10buckstheater, R-E, as
Yeah.
well. Yeah, and you'll probably see us, our posters up around. We post a lot of different events now as well. We don't just do shows. We also have our 24-hour play festival. So if you wanted to try your hand at writing a script, if you wanted to try
Ah,
acting,
that's
it's
cool.
a more low commitment time period just to get your feet wet.
So, what's upcoming for 10 Bucks Theater with an RE? What do you see coming up in the fall and winter for you?
So, I'm actually dipping my toe into directing. I'm co-directing our next production with our president, Dina Rice. We're directing a show that we kind of put together called Scary Stories. It's a compilation of different poems, different short stories for, the fall time. We're doing like Legend of Sleepy Hollow. We're doing some H.P. Lovecraft, Edgar Allan Poe. It's a nice mix of everything. So that's coming up. That starts. I can even give you the specific dates because I have the
Please do.
calendar right in front of me.
Absolutely do.
See it. That's September. There's October. We open October 17th, and we run Thursday through Sunday, the 17th to the 27th for that.
It's
Perfect.
a great show if you love any classic horror fiction literature, anything like that. It's like the classics, like that you want to read to get in the mood for Halloween. So it's cool.
Where is that being performed?
So our current space is in the Bangor Mall right now. It's right next to the old Sears wing in that area.
So you just park and go in, and there you are.
Pretty much, yeah. It
Okay.
isn't too much of a maze.
Okay. And anything after the scary, spooky season?
Yes, we have our 24-hour new play festival. This is, I believe, the 10th one we've done
Yeah,
coming up.
10. Yeah.
That is November 8th and 9th. You can sign up. We haven't put out sign-ups for that yet, but that should be coming out pretty soon. You can sign up as an actor, as a writer, as a director, or you can sign up for a stage crew roles, and that's going to be in at UMaine in Minsky Recital Hall.
And that's you. We get together one day, meet each other, go through some different warm-ups and, get to know you and stuff. And then we each write, and we find a director and some actors, and they each put on a written, directed, and acted play in a 24-hour period. So,
Well, that's technically challenging, I would say, but what a
it's a lot
cool
of
thing.
fun. Yeah.
It really is a lot of fun.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Give me your contact information for our listeners one more time, please.
Sure. So our website is 10 Bucks Theater. That's theater with an RE.org. And our Facebook page, also 10 Bucks Theater, and our Instagram page at 10 Bucks Theater. We try to
Perfect.
be consistent.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. I can't wait to see more productions that 10 Bucks Theater puts on.
Thank
And
you.
good luck in everything you do. Thank you so much.
Thank
Thank you very
you.
much.
Creative Maine is alive with activities, presentations, workshops, concerts, and all manner of cultural endeavors. At this point in the show, we highlight a few of the many calendar items going on around the region. On display currently and running through October 14th at the Castine Historical Society, A History of Castine in 40 Objects is a museum exhibition of 40 unexpected and compelling artifacts that weave together almost 400 years of Castine history. The Historical Society is located at 17 School Street, Castine, and is open Fridays through Mondays. For more information, go to castinehistoricalsociety.org. On Saturday, October 5th, Port Fiber is celebrating its 11th anniversary with sales, raffles, spin-ins, snacks, and local coffee. For more information, go to portfiber.com or drop in to Port Fiber, 50 Cove Street, Portland, Maine. 10 Bucks Theater will be presenting Scary Stories, stage renderings of spooky tales by Edgar Allan Poe, H.P. Lovecraft, and others, from October 17th through October 27th at the Bangor Mall. For more information, go to 10buckstheater.org or visit 10 Bucks Theater on Facebook or Instagram. For a more complete listing of events, visit our website, weru.org, and click the Community Calendar tab. If you would like to add an item to the community calendar, you may follow the prompts on the calendar page and submit your own event for the list. If you have an event that you feel is particularly pertinent to Creative Maine, send a note with the details to info@weru.org and list Creative Maine in the subject line. You are listening to Creative Maine on WERU 89.9 FM and on weru.org. Next up, Creative Maine explores a uniquely Maine institution, RB Hall Day. I converse with Colleen Sweetser of Bridgeton, the 2024 RB Hall Day organizer, and then we experience some of the sounds of the day. RB Hall Day 2024 took place in Bridgeton, Maine, on Saturday, June 29th. Hello, Colleen Sweetser, and welcome to Creative Maine. I'm so happy to have you on the program.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
Certainly. Today we are going to talk about RB Hall Day, which is a uniquely Maine thing. And we will talk about the festival and how it got started, what it is. But first, who was RB Hall and why does Maine give him his own day?
So R.B. Hall, Robert Brown Hall, is actually a really fascinating character. He was wonderfully talented in music. He didn't live to a ripe old age, but he at a very young age, developed this great love of music. He worked in a shoe factory so he could take lessons on the trumpet. He was born right in Boningham, Maine. And he very quickly became quite accomplished. He turned into be quite a virtuoso on the trumpet, but then a great conductor and a composer. So he was a champion of Maine bands. He started his own band, the Richmond Band, and he ended up composing over 120 pieces for brass band. So it was quite an accomplishment. About 62 of those pieces actually were published, and they're played even to today. He was very, very popular. His music became popular in England too. So he has got a worldwide reputation. So how did we end up having this day named after him? He was a real champion of bands in Maine, and so community bands. He conducted many of them, and the people of Maine were extremely impressed by all of his talent. And because of all that, when he died, he developed a stroke and then passed away in Portland. But several years after his death, they held a celebration, a memorial celebration for him. And it was a local thing, but it kind of got started this idea that people wanted to remember their native Maine composer. Mm-hmm. And so they started, community bands just started getting together every year and having this RB Hall Day celebration. And eventually in 1981, by proclamation of the governor, it was established that the last Saturday in June every year would be called RB Hall Day. And as many community bands from across the state as can make it go to different locations every year to celebrate our great composer.
It's something that many other states do not have. I mean, Everybody can claim a native son one way or another. I know, like Leonard Bernstein in Massachusetts and so forth, but R.B. Hall is different somehow. What were his dates, Colleen?
So he was born in 1858 and he died in 1907. Young, I think under 50. So, yeah.
But it took to the 80s to give him his own day.
Yes, it did. It did. It kind of grew organically, which is wonderful. And it grew out of the people who really loved his music and appreciated what he did. It's really the common people, the people, your everyday people who just enjoy band music, and just want to have a great time and remember him with this community band celebration.
So the festival switches location every year, but you are this year's coordinator. And so tell us a bit about yourself and how you came to have this position and how Bridgeton was chosen for this year's festival.
So the festival is hosted by a different group every year, and they kind of like to get that settled as quickly as possible because it does take a full year of work and planning to draw community together to make this happen. But I was a member of the Bridgeton Band, and my husband, Steve Sweetser, conducts that band. And last year in 2023, Bodenham was the host of this. The Richmond Band hosted the festival. And we had so much fun at the festival. It was such a great event. We just said, why doesn't Bridgeton host it next year? And so we brought it back to our board of directors. And Dick Albert is our president. And the board was really enthusiastic to do it. So we let the R.B. Hall Day committee know that we would be willing to host it, and immediately began set to work trying to get things going.
Very good. What do you play, Colleen?
I'm a French hornist, and I'm also a conductor, but primarily for Bridgeton, I'm a French hornist.
So, what did the festival look like this year? Tell us about the program and also the concept of a massed band. I find that quite fascinating. A massed band, what is all of that?
So, yeah, one of the unique traditions of R.B. Hall Day is this idea of a massed band. And it doesn't really happen this way for too many other big celebrations. So, anybody that plays a musical instrument that is present on R.B. Hall Day is invited. Usually, the mass band portion is held in the middle of the festival, the middle of the day. So, you're invited to join with the other musicians and perform usually five or six, maybe a little few more of R.B. Hall's marches together. What it is a real mingling and a collaboration of all these musicians from all over the state, sometimes up to 14 or 16 bands, and they get to play as musicians side by side. No rehearsal, you just jump in and do it. The tradition is that this portion of the celebration is led by conductor Dennis Harrington. And what's really fun about it is that Dennis comes and he shows up with a Chandler's Band, the formal overcoat from the 19th century, and he has permission to use. He usually gets it out of the museum that stores it in Waterville. R.B. Hall's special coronet that was engraved especially for him and presented to him during his lifetime. So that is a really fun thing that takes place, and all of the musicians look forward to it. That's usually labeled as a highlight of the day.
It sounded great for no rehearsal. We have a lot of really good musicians in Maine, I'll just say that. So there was a very special piece commissioned for the Bridgeton celebration. Tell us about how that came to be and about what it is.
Sure. So very early on, the committee decided that they wanted to do a few things to make the day even more special than what it always is. And one of those things was that we wanted to commission a special piece to be written to commemorate this day this year in Bridgeton. My husband Steve and I are friends with a composer. His name is Stephen Troy. And we went to him and asked him if he would be willing to write a work, a short work for 4 minutes or so to commemorate the day. Now, we knew we didn't have a budget, so this was a big ask. And we went to him, and Mr. Troy is such a generous man that he agreed to do this, to write this piece for us, to commemorate this day, and he did not charge us. So the name of the piece is A Whole Day Fanfare, and it is a fun piece because it takes five of R.B. Hall's most popular marches, and it weaves them together in this fanfare of music. And at one point in the music, all five pieces are being played by different instruments in the band simultaneously. But somehow it all fits together and it worked magically. It was an absolutely stunning piece. Everyone loved it. And I think a Birchwood band is scheduled to play it next week on their final concert of the season again.
I think it should be an institution, and we will hear some of the Hall Day fanfare here. So what did the day look like? What did how does the schedule work? What happens
Sure.
during if you're an attendee, what can you expect to see?
So the hallmark of R.B. Hall Day is that it is all day music by from all from bands community bands across the state. And they play music continuously. So what we did is we had two tents set up, and we alternated performance venues. So you had one band situated in one tent and one in another. And as soon as one band stopped, the next band played, and that went on all day long. We had 12 different bands that played that day. And it was continuous music. There were only a couple little times during the day where maybe there was a 2 minute break. But it was that's the real big hallmark of the day. That's what is supposed to happen, because Arby Hull, in his lifetime, like I said, he was a supporter of community bands. He actually conducted several bands, and he actually saved some of them and revived some of them that were in danger of maybe not being able to continue. So community bands was a tradition of Maine that was really important to Arby Hall Day, and community bands from across the state really appreciate that. And that's why when we come together on Arby Hall Day, it's so special. So that's the main thing that's supposed to happen. Then, of course, we have the mass band, which we already talked about. That's another huge tradition. The reading of the proclamation of the governor is something that happens every year. And this year, we decided we wanted to add a few extra elements. One thing that was really important to us was to provide opportunities for children to enjoy this. Sometimes children like to go to concerts, but not like just music all day long. That would be kind of tough. So we invited different community groups to come and provide activities that are related to music for kids to do, that families could come to and enjoy the music, but also the kids could participate. I think the Bridgeton Community Library, they did a wonderful job having a craft table that revolved around making little musical instruments. We had Camp Encore Coda come, and they did demonstrations and let the kids try out some different instruments. And Joe Guzzi, our percussionist, provided bucket drumming sessions, which was, a hoot. It was a lot of fun. So we tried to have those kinds of things for kids, and we had some great food trucks so that people could enjoy themselves, and a little craft fair. So there was a lot of different activity going on. I
That's a
also
lot
have
of
to,
balls in the air.
yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. But it all worked together. It was amazing. And the local Lake Region public television came out, and they recorded the entire day so that each band is able to have a recording, a video actually, of their performance. And which was a wonderful thing. I really want to thank Lake Region for doing that.
What a great idea. What a great idea to involve the children.
Yeah.
We definitely need to keep that one going in, as a tradition. So, how are the host towns chosen? You said you just volunteered. Do you know who's doing it next year?
Well, right now it's a mystery. So, well, there have been several people who've inquired about it. It's a big responsibility, so people want to think about it, but we hope by the end of the summer that a group will step forward and definitely say they're committed to taking on the festival for next year. And it is volunteer. It is a volunteer thing, and there is a lot of work to it, but it's just great fun to do. We worked really, really hard to make it a fun event, but we enjoyed every minute of it. So,
And it was a fun event. I can vouch for that. Bridgeton has an interesting town band history. Can you speak about that for a moment?
sure. So the Bridgeton Community Band is an awesome group. This year is celebrating its 86th anniversary year, which is really wonderful. But I have to say, there were many community bands at Arby Hall Day that have a much longer history even. So Bridgeton Community Bands, one of the things that makes it really special is we open up our band to our summer guests. So we're a summer band. We primarily rehearse and perform in the summer. We do a free concert series every week. But people who come up to Maine to visit Maine and are in the area, are invited, and we put this right up on our website, and the word just gets out. And so you never know from one week to the next who might be visiting your band and playing in it. And sometimes we have really interesting people, and it's always a lot of fun to meet people from many, many different states that are Texas, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York,
Wow.
and Florida. So they come from many, many different states, and we get to meet them and interact with them. And sometimes they come back year after year, and you just make great friends that way.
That's great. What fun. So how may a town band get on the list to participate?
Sure. So we maintain, or I'd say the people who organize Arby Hall Day, we have a database with information for probably about 30 different bands from across the state. But if a band that's not on our list that we don't reach out to wants to participate, it is open to any community band across the state of Maine, any community band. So all a band has to do right now, they could contact me. I can give my email if you want me to do that.
Yes, I was going to ask how WERU listeners can get involved as musicians, volunteers, or audience. That was
Sure. So you can contact me, and I can spell my email address. It's my name, COLLEEN SWEETSIR at gmail.com. And if your band is interested in being included in the mailing list and finding out more about Arby Hall Day, just shoot me an email, or if you're interested in volunteering or attending next year's event, you can do that. Just email me. Another way you can find out more about Arby Hall Day is go to Arby Hall, the Arby Hall Facebook page. And that is more, you can get information. If you ask a question, people will respond and let you know and give you more. And once a host is identified for next year, that will be posted, and information will be posted on the website, so you can find out more about next year's event.
Wonderful. And WERU listeners can also go to WERU.org and look under Creative Maine and find out further information. As well, any questions may be directed to me, Adina Salmonson, at info@weru.org. Well, thank you, Colleen. This has been so fun and informative. And we're going to hear a few more clips from Arby Hall Day 2024. It was a marvelous event. I think a wonderful time was had by all participants and audience alike. So, congratulations on mounting a wonderful festival.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, enjoy and have a wonderful Arby Hall Day next year.
Welcome to Creative Maine's coverage of RB Hall Day. We are here in Bridgeton, Maine at this festival of all things community band. We've got the Maine Pops band playing in the background, and we will hear bits of many other bands and exciting music to come today. I'm here with members of the Maine Pops band, and I'm going to chat with them for a few moments. So tell me, sir, what your name is, what you do with the band, and a little bit about the band.
I'm David Watts. I am the director. I play the baton. That's what I do. We're a group of about, I think we have about 110 members, and you know, some of those are people who play with us just during the summer because they're snowbirds, and but you know, we typically have between 85 and 90 members playing with us at all times. So yeah, it's great.
When do you rehearse, and how can one of our listeners who lives in your area get involved?
Well, we rehearse in the Scarborough area, and we pull people from all over southern Maine, actually all the way up to the Brunswick area. And we rehearse on Wednesday evenings from 7 to 9 at Scarborough High School. And we have a website, mainpops.org. And if you go to the website, you can, there's a button that says how to join the band, and you can put in it. We are a non-auditioned group, and we're at the point where a lot of our sections are closed because we do have 110 people, but we're always looking for, people to be in a rotation, and there are still some sections that we're taking more people in. But yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Absolutely. And can you tell me your name and what do you play?
My name is Patty Lawson, and I play flute and piccolo.
And how did you get into the band, and what do you love about it?
Well, we moved here in 2021, and I can't remember how I met David, but it was very shortly after we moved here. We actually researched. That's right. My husband is a researcher, and so he's talked about the, or he brought this one up, and so I reached out, and they asked me to come to the rehearsal, and that was when the band was still rebuilding after COVID. It was when 45 people.
Right. Exactly.
And I just loved it. I love our director because he doesn't, we don't just play notes, he makes us play music.
Wonderful. It's such a good time, isn't it? What is your name and what do you play?
My name's Lily King. I play the flute.
Like your seatmate over here. And why do you love playing?
I love playing. I've been playing for 30 years, and I got into the band because after college I didn't have an outlet, and I got in touch with my high school band director, and he pointed me in the direction of, we used to be the Italian Heritage Center band, so I've been playing with them since I graduated college in 2006, and I just do it because I love it, and it's a lot of fun. Great people, the crowd, good times. The size of the crowd,
and the thank you so much.
Jeff Smorczewski, I'm a tuba player, sound, lighting, and I played for a couple of different bands, and this is the latest one, and I've been very, very pleased. It's a great group, and
it's an incredible opportunity for concert bands.
It's really, really good.
Sort of presented in the limelight here.
It makes you really want to show up every Wednesday night.
We have Red, White, Blue.
Yeah, we've had some really phenomenal concerts, and people are very impressed.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And how about you? What do you play?
Hello, my name's Sue Niemoller. I play alto saxophone with the band. I've been with them for about 10 years or so, something like that. I just love it.
Any bit helps,
if you're searching for a band that has emotion behind their music, that has a soul behind their music, this is your band. This is the band to come see. We have actually been told that we rival the Portland Symphony Orchestra in our Christmas concerts, I believe it was. But we put on several concerts a year. Some of them are public, some of them are private during the summertime. But we at least put on a fall concert, a Christmas concert, and a spring concert typically. And like David said, please go to the website, check it out. You will be so glad that you did.
Thank you all so much, and have a wonderful rest of RB Hall Day.
Thank you. The crowd in Bridgeton is very much enjoying this panoply of bands, one after the other, all day long, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So, tell me your name.
I'm Kathy.
And what do you play, Kathy?
I play trombone.
Yay! With which ensemble?
I'm with the Bath Municipal Band.
Tell me a little bit about the Bath Band. You're obviously in Bath, Maine. When do you rehearse? And
well, I mean, we rehearse basically Tuesday, and we have a swing band as well. So we rehearse Tuesdays for swing, and then Wednesdays usually for the concert band.
Our next selection is really new.
When is your concert night?
It depends. We play in the gazebo near the library, and swing band plays Tuesday nights, and then concert band plays either Wednesday or Friday, and sometimes Saturday, because we actually play for events in Bath. So,
and you have a great time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's fun.
Well, thank you so much. Have a wonderful time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much to my wonderful guests, Natalie Lisnett, Jesse Speed, Colleen Sweetser, and members of the Maine Pops and Bath Bands. We had so much fun learning about R.B. Hall Day, as well as the Ten Bucks Theater. We heard the R.B. Hall Day Masked Band perform a Hall Day fanfare, and the Bangor Band perform Greeting to Bangor by R.B. Hall, and an excerpt from 76 Trombones, arranged by Jay Bocook. Our theme music is composed and performed by Ariel Chapman. If you have questions or comments for me or any of our guests, please send them to info@weru.org. Please write Creative Maine in the subject line. Please join Creative Maine at WERU 89.9 FM or on weru.org for another eclectic episode on October 17th at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, when we will learn about the Improv All-Stars, how Maine and Tajikistan are connected literally by a thread, and how the Buck Memorial Library is crafting a new concept of what libraries can do. Thank you so much for listening. This is Adina Salmonson, wishing you a wonderful month of the arts and crafts that enrich your life and bring you joy.